Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Oh, baby, welcome to it. It is Tuesday, the 26th of May. Think about that for a second. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. This is the Daily Caller podcast for Tuesday. It's going to be a different show. I'd planned on coming on, and I had a bunch of things ready, and I thought, well, I'll do an interview for like half the show because somebody's making the news that I know that I could get to come on the show, and then we ended up talking for 55 minutes. So there you go. The guest today is going to make a lot of you mad. She's going to make a lot of you cheer. Depends on you, and you can figure that out on your own. You don't need me to tell you how to feel or think. It's the one and only Ann Coulter. That's right, Ann Coulter. She's went off, made some news over the weekend, went off on a Twitter rant against the President of the United States for going after Jeff Sessions still. And it really is a little bit much. Jeff Sessions was a hell of a senator, and he was a damn fine attorney general, too. One issue the president has issues with, and it still goes on. And frankly, the alternative to Jeff Sessions is an unknown commodity, Tommy Tuberville. Unless you know college football, who the hell knows Tommy Tuberville? And knowing college football doesn't tell you a damn thing about how he will be as a United States senator. So, Jeff Sessions, you know how he is as a United States senator. So, we get into all of that. We get into a ton of things. It's a really fun conversation, as it always is with Ann Coulter. So, one, even if you're mad and you get pissed off at something I say or something Ann says, you're going to enjoy the conversation either way. Get out of your comfort zone every once in a while and live a little, won't you? So before we get to that, let me just quickly give a hat tip to our sponsor, Life Change Tea. Yes, the tea that will change your life, make you feel better, give you more energy. Now, how does this work? It cleans you out. It's the tea that makes you go. I ain't kidding you. It's the tea that makes you go. You go to getthetea.com, choose your flavor, read up on it. Choose your flavor. It gets sent to you. You enter promo code Derek at checkout for free fast shipping. You follow the instructions. Do not chug it. It's like a gallon. You'll not leave the bathroom for a couple of days if you do that. Follow the instructions. You'll start going regularly, and then you'll notice, hey, I got more energy. Why is that? Because it's cleaning you out and allows your body to absorb more of the nutrition and the food that you consume. And that's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. I have more energy because of it. People who've emailed me are like, wow, this stuff really works. I said, yeah, that's what I told you. Go to getthetea.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout, click apply. It lets them know you got it here. It gets you free shipping. You help the show. You help yourself. You help the sponsors. The circle of life continues to roll on. You don't need me to set this up any more than I already have. So let's get right to the one and only Ann Coulter.
All right, as we've been doing, we're checking in with people around the country and around the world. Talked to a guy, American, who lives in China right now during this pandemic. I thought, let's check in with Ann Coulter because, well, she's always interesting, and she has a couple of things to say, as you might suspect if you follow her on Twitter. So joining us now is the one and only Ann Coulter. Ann, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Derek Hunter?
I'm doing well. I'm thankful every day that my kids are 3 and 1.5, so they aren't aware of the passage of time, because otherwise they'd be driving me absolutely nuts.
Oh, but, you're right. Yeah. That is a good age for a pandemic.
It is. Oh, here's a new toy. Here's a toy you haven't seen in a while. I think it's a new toy. They're gone for the next 2 days, so it's all good. I just got to get them to pick up drinking and smoking, and I'll never see them. First of all, how are you surviving the pandemic? How is that going for you?
Well, it's great. I mean, this is my normal life, other than the fact that the day before the shutdown went into effect, I was about to go off on a 6-week speaking tour. So that really sucks. I love speaking on college campuses. You know, I spoke at Berkeley last year, and right. 2000 Antifa came out to stop me. But from my own devices and security squad, I spoke. It was fabulous. And that's why, oh, you don't hear anything about that one. But yeah, 2,000 of them trying and masked lunatics trying to prevent me from speaking. And it reminded me, you know, how great the college speeches are. It was really great once I got into the room, duly protected with my own security force. So I had all these college speeches. I was debating Barbara Boxer out in California. I was, you know, in the going skiing and speaking to a group out in Utah. So I was really depressed that that got shut down. But other than that, it's pretty much my normal life. I'm always in quarantine.
Who knows if college campuses are even going to come back next year? This is nuts.
Yes, that is the one silver line.
You might have to go to, like, the DNC just to get yelled at. It'll be, like, 6 months since you've been yelled at, won't it?
Yes, good point.
You got to be going through withdrawals. Going to the grocery store. Hey, somebody call me a Nazi, please. I need to remember what it's like. Lord. Well, I wanted to check in with you on a lot of things, but we can't ignore the big thing first, and that is your endorsement of Tommy.
The only thing I've been tweeting about.
Your endorsement of Tommy Tuberville. There, you know, I just want to say, in the interest of full disclosure, I actually have money on Jeff Sessions winning the special election on Predict It. And I was doing well until the president started tweeting about how he hates Jeff Sessions.
Well, that's why you should be happy I've stepped into this. You know, no one's pointed out, I almost didn't send it, that the initial volley of tweets went out at 5:30 in the morning because I was trying to enjoy my pandemic and you know, going to dinner parties, having dinner parties, going out. And then I, at 4:30 in the morning, Saturday night, well, technically Sunday morning, I went on Twitter for the first time in a while, and I saw this jackass tweet by our jackass president, being a big baby, blaming Jeff Sessions for the Russian investigation once again, something that was entirely 100% his fault. I mean, apart from the Democrats and liberals who launched it, but
right. They set the trap. They set the trap, but it was right there on concrete. He walked into it.
Right, right, and also being a ridiculous, egomaniacal baby. But we'll get back to that. And I almost didn't send out the tweet denouncing him, or a series of tweets, because I thought, nobody's online at 4:30. In the morning, but then I just couldn't resist, so I started sending them out. There are a few spelling errors here and there, but I
think
that's
why God created editors. You know,
it gives you the cinema veritas. You can feel my rage. I'm typing too fast to check the spelling. As people who pay attention to things and aren't Brad Parscale, you know, sock puppets on Twitter. There was this big kabuki theater over firing Jeff Comey, James Comey, which interestingly, one of the suggestions Attorney General Jeff Sessions, great patriot and gentleman, had made to the president as soon as our childish president took office was, fire the FBI director right away. Get a clean start. Start with your own team. No, Trump blows him off. Months later, decides he wants to get rid of Comey. So then they go through this whole kabuki theater. I mean, it isn't totally kabuki on the part of Jeff Sessions because he had recommended firing Comey from the get-go. So they produce that letter signed by Rosenstein and put together and Jeff Sessions explaining why they were going to be firing. They were recommending the firing of the FBI director, James Comey. That goes out there, and it mostly had to do with his mishandling of the Hillary investigation, actually, from both sides' perspectives. But then idiot boy Trump goes on Lester Holt a few days later And Trump is the easiest person to play I've ever, ever seen. All you have to do is challenge his ego. I mean, he just did it with the COVID thing. But in the, you could say to him, you know, he's part of a gang that robs a 7-Eleven and kills the clerk. This is how you get him to confess. Nah, I know you didn't have anything to do with it. You were just like the getaway car driver, right? You're not a big part. No. I shot. I'm the one who shot the clerk. That's Trump. That is our president. So that's basically what happened. He goes on Lester Holt, and he has to be the big man. No, it was my decision. It was my decision to fire the FBI director. This Russia thing, it was just getting out of control. I mean, he rambles and says lots of stuff, but he clearly said that he fired the FBI director because of the Russia investigation. That was one of many reasons, admittedly, that he gave. But that was the reason, and bam, the media went hysterical. That's what got him the special prosecutor, because he couldn't help bragging that he was the one who made the decision. No, it was my decision. He did the same thing with COVID. He gets this monkey off his back. Who's going to be the one to decide to reopen? The media was out there. This is like a month ago. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. The media is saying it's up to the governors. It's up to the governors. You have nothing to do with this. And he comes forward and says, it's my decision, which he then immediately has to back away from. I mean, he does this all the time. So it was 100% his fault. It doesn't matter that it was a phony investigation. We all knew it was a phony investigation from the beginning. It was about the campaign, contrary to rumor. Jeff Sessions didn't recuse himself from anything having to do with Russia. He recused himself from anything having to do with the campaign, as is required by law. If the investigation had been a phony story about, you know, who knows, Trump's business dealings, you couldn't have Michael Cohen as attorney general, or at least overseeing that investigation of Trump's business. Jeff Sessions was on the campaign. He could not be the attorney general overseeing an investigation into that campaign that he was a part of. This is like basic black letter ethics law. And these morons on a certain allegedly conservative network that will parrot anything Trump says, you know, oh, no, he didn't have to recuse himself. Also, we have all these genius lawyers on Twitter. Oh, he didn't have to recuse. He had to recuse himself. In any event, who was it that recommended he fire Trump, fire Comey right away? Oh, yeah, that was Jeff Sessions. Months later, who told Trump it would be a home run to fire Comey? Democrats are going to love this. Probably worried about saving his own skin. Yes, that would be Jared Kushner. And who at the FBI oversaw this investigation? Christopher Wray. Who appointed Christopher Wray? Donald Trump. Who appointed Rod Rosenstein, who technically appointed the special counsel? Donald Trump. Who told Trump to fire Comey 3 months, 6 months, whatever it was in? Jared Kushner, and again, hired by Donald Trump. So Trump turns around and attacks the one member of his administration who has done anything on immigration, anything. I just tweeted today because I know the Supreme Court decision is coming out soon. After Trump promised over and over and over again that his first day in office, he would overturn, sign an executive order countermanding Obama's unconstitutional executive order on Dreamers, which Obama himself said was unconstitutional.
Well, is that, that's, it's not, an executive that's working its order. Way through the that's working its way through the courts.
That's what I was
now,
say.
Liberal courts have said somehow you can't overturn an executive order with an executive order, which is new, I think, to constitutional law. But that's kind
I believe
of what we've been saying.
Well, I believe we'll be getting a decision on that soon, which reminded me, something else done by Jeff Sessions. The big baby in the White House, of course, lied to his voters, did nothing on Dreamers, nothing on DACA. Oh, no, I take that back. He started giving speeches and telling the press, I love the Dreamers. You know, I love kids. I love kids so much, and I have grandkids, and they don't have anything to worry about. We want to keep them here. It wasn't their fault. I mean, he sounded worse than Jeb exclamation point. This isn't what you ran on. So I don't know what it was about 8 months in. Sessions, the magnificent attorney general, notices that nothing's really happening on this executive order. So he reaches out, he drafts the rules, he pushes through new rules for Homeland, overturning the unconstitutional executive order, and it is Sessions that gets rid of the Dreamers, which we believe will be upheld by the Supreme Court sometime in the next few weeks. Sessions, not Trump. And now
I'm,
he's attacking
poor
Sessions. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm picking up on the fact that he may not be particularly a fan of the President of the United States. I got to ask you this, though, Ann, because there are a lot of people listening who are very angry at what you're saying, and there are a lot of people listening who are Trump voters and now vehement Trump supporters, in part because of your vehemence back in 2016. I mean, you did write a book, In Trump We Trust.
Yes, I did. Man, that was a wonderful time. What a wonderful time to be alive. Yeah, the stuff Trump said was really great on the campaign trail, but it turns out being smarter than the average politician isn't that much of a recommendation. I mean, we knew what Trump's flaws were, but I, as I wrote in Trump We Trust itself, his very vulgarity made it seem more plausible that he would keep his promises. Americans have been voting for a lot of the things that Trump ran on. Bringing, how about American jobs? Weirdly enough, American voters want more American jobs, fewer foreigners taking American jobs or outsourcing American jobs. That's been big. Obviously, immigration, huge. Every time an immigration issue, whether it's English only or welfare benefits for illegals or building a wall, whenever that has been put to the voters, it has won overwhelmingly. But meanwhile, back in Washington, you have the Chamber of Commerce and the Cato Institute and everybody working for the donors. I just look forward to the day that we have a country. I don't look forward to it in most ways, but, you know, like with COVID, you have to take the silver linings where you get them. When we have a country that's being run by, you know, the Black Lives Matter, transgender identity politics Democrats, and see how well the corporations do then. What kind of regulations do you think you're going to get under President AOC? Because that's the country you're engineering with your cheap labor. In any event, that's what made Trump believable, that he wasn't the average politician, that he was an utter boor, that he seems not to care what refined people thought of him, which is why he kept saying things that would shock the NPR crowd, like, we're not a country if we don't have a border. You know, obvious things that are 80-20 with the populace out there. He hasn't done any of them. I don't think he ever intended to do any of them. But to turn around and attack the one guy in his administration and the one who saved this country from amnesty so many times before when he was in the Senate, the great Jeff Sessions. Meanwhile, and look, I know nothing about Tommy Tuberville or however you say it, but come on, Zara, he was a football coach. You're telling me the media isn't going to have any scandal on him? And
well,
as
know,
they
I
do.
And he sort of paid lip service to a more lax position on the border, from what I've read.
Oh, yeah. He's totally open borders. His campaign is being run by anti-Trump, open borders types, but really anti-Trump. This is what an idiot our president is. Really aggressively anti-Trump. But beyond that, I mean, his company was charged with a massive multi-million dollar fraud. The co-owner of it was convicted and went to prison. Tuberville, how do you pronounce it?
I believe it's Tuberville.
Okay, Tuberville. He reached a settlement in the case. There are all these fraud cases circling him, plus a football coach. Plus, have you seen his stupid-ass ads? We're going to score a touchdown. Oh, for Pete's sake. I mean, you look across, who knows what's going to happen in the presidential election? Don't assume the incumbent is going to win, as they usually do in this case. It is Trump. The one thing, not only people like me, all conservatives, but, you know, where are these never Trumpers? They pretend to love the country and just hate Trump. How about going pedal to the metal to save the U.S. Senate for the Republicans? Because it's not looking good right now. We're probably going to lose a seat in Colorado. We're probably going to lose a seat in Montana. In the Senate, we could, North Carolina and Maine, who knows? The one Senate seat out there that we could flip from Democrat to Republican, the only one that's even in the cards, is Alabama, the reddest state in the union. And why does it have a Democratic representative? Because the last time Trump endorsed the open borders guy over the immigration restrictionist, and we ended up with Roy Moore as the Republican nominee. So he's already screwed over Alabama once, and now he's intervening, trying to screw over Alabama again. But just the indignity of his BS attacks on Sessions. Did you see that he said a few days ago, which I only found out at 4:30 in the morning Saturday night, I didn't want to hire. I didn't even want to hire Sessions, but he came to me and he begged for the job. Four times he begged. And Sessions, being a gentleman and a man, replied, I never begged for the job. I never even asked for the job. You offered it to me. I took it. What kind of woman goes out and attacks someone and accuses him of begging for the job? Moreover, this business about, oh, he's such a man, he's such a man. Oh, The Apprentice, you're fired. No, he's too much of a pussy to fire anybody. Why didn't he just fire Sessions? Sessions now says, maybe people knew this all along, I didn't remember it, that after the special counsel was appointed, he submitted his resignation to Trump because he had to recuse himself from anything having to do with the campaign. And again, legal warriors on Twitter had to recuse himself. But thanks for your legal expertise. So he said, you know, maybe I shouldn't be attorney general. Why didn't Trump then? He's president, which he doesn't seem to know. Why doesn't he move Sessions over to Homeland? Put a different attorney general in. No, instead he spends the next 4 years taunting Sessions on Twitter.
That's where I had a problem with it.
Tell him to resign. Tell him to resign. You're the president. Fire him.
You know, there are a lot of things that, look, I like a lot of the things that the president has done. I have a lot of problems with some of the other things the president has done. And one of the biggest things I have a problem with, Ann, is how the president doesn't see, he says things and doesn't do them. He announces he's considering things instead of just doing them. And he also doesn't seem, I mean, if you just read his Twitter feed, you wouldn't think he fully understands the powers of the presidency. And somebody, you know, somebody should really look into this, or somebody should get rid of, and like, you're the president. You can do that, but you know that's mostly for show. He's throwing red meat out there, which is in its own way annoying. But
Yes. When
you spend your time attacking your own appointees, that doesn't reflect well upon the person who hired them. And most of President Trump has been blessed by who his political opponents are. You know, who?
Yes.
Running against Hillary Clinton, my God, I could have beaten Hillary Clinton. My cats could have beaten Hillary Clinton. Running against Joe Biden again, you know, Joe Biden said the other day he's going to beat Joe Biden, which I believe is possible. And there's also a possibility that he picks himself to be his own vice presidential nominee, not knowing what's going on. So there is a possibility that the president wins again. Doesn't the president, in order to increase his chances of winning again, have to start stepping up and doing some of the things that he is president can do, that he promised to do, particularly on immigration? We're expecting executive orders on birthright citizenship, things like that, that haven't happened. The things that are completely within his control, that of course will be challenged in court and the left will go apeshit over it, but that's beside the point. He can at least, there isn't going to be an avalanche until a rock starts moving, the ball starts moving, and he's the one who can start the ball moving.
Right. No, this idea that you don't do anything because, oh, a district court will say no. Okay, that doesn't mean you don't do something. And in point of fact, as you indicate, every one of his immigration decisions denounced from on high as, oh, it's so obviously unconstitutional. The Muslim ban, the building of the wall, everything he's done on immigration. Oh, something he didn't do, but the great Chris Kovach did. Remember the Papers, Please law? All of these eventually work their way up to the Supreme Court, and they're always upheld. So, yeah, of course, you do it. And in the case of the president, I believe, I mean, they're one of my favorite words, co-equal, meaning equal, branches of government. Just a district court judge is one thousandth of one branch. The president is 100% of an equal branch. So he could just go ahead and start building the wall anyway. And, you know, that's why I've been somewhat more restrained fashion, holding Trump's feet to the fire for the past 3 years on his promises, because I figure one way or another, we may only have, well, at this point, what is it, 5 months left to get any of these promises fulfilled, because even if he wins re-election, he didn't care much about his promises when he was facing re-election. How much do you think he's going to care when he's not facing re-election? I mean, at that point, it's just going to be pedal to the metal promoting Ivanka and Jared's business interests.
You helped, at least rhetorically, you formed candidate Donald Trump's positions on immigration with Adios America. And you had contact with the campaign, I imagine, back then. You certainly had contact with the president. He was a fan of yours. You were a fan of his. Now that you've had this rift, are you hearing from anybody close to the inner circle, even if you don't want to name names? Are you hearing from the campaign telling you, hey, Ann, we're coming. Don't worry, it's coming. Or is anybody talking to you behind the scenes, or are they just saying mean things about you in public?
I mostly hear from the optimistic talk radio host. No, it's coming. He's going to build it. Don't worry. No, from the Trump team, it's usually just like running into one of them at a party or something. It's always, stop being so mean to Jared. I even offered a deal. This is probably 6 months ago. From someone asking me to stop being so mean to Jared. I said, okay, have Trump endorse Chris Kobach. And I mean now. We don't wait for him to win the primary and then at the last minute step forward like he did last time. Now, endorse Chris Kobach, running for the U.S. Senate from Kansas, magnificent human being, Donald Trump without any of the disabilities and many things we don't even require. Endorse Chris Kobach, and I will say nothing but flattery of Jared on Twitter. There's my deal.
Are they more upset by your criticism of Jared than they are of the president?
It could be. It might depend on whom I happen to bump into. But yes, they seem more upset by my attacks on Jared, and the Trump advocates will usually just say, oh, give him a call. Come on, give him a call.
You could help. Have you been tempted to give him a call?
Not really. I'd rather tweet about him.
Now, the president is the president. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And you called him a retard. You called him disloyal. One of the things that President Trump always said was, I'm a very loyal guy. I'm a very loyal guy. Jeff Sessions was, and I'm not taking a position on this. I'm trying to get some information. But Jeff Sessions was the first United States senator to come out and endorse Donald Trump. I'm not sure how that bodes for the loyalty argument.
No, he's the most disloyal human being I've ever seen. Jeff Sessions, Chris Kobach, and, I mean, as soon as he wasn't in the race, Chris Christie. And I don't think people remember this naturally. I sure remember it. Fox News was pedal to the metal against Trump. At that first debate, the Fox News debate, you know, where he was asked about the comments about women and he had the great comeback to Megyn Kelly. Before that debate, it came out in New York Magazine that Rupert Murdoch had called Roger Ailes and said, this has gone on long enough. Take out Trump. That was Fox News's marching orders. It recently came out since Kayleigh McEnany has been the press secretary and doing a fabulous job. They put together all these clips of her sneering at Trump in 2015 and 16. And, you know, he's a clown. He's a performer. The sooner he gets, called him a racist. And I defended her on Twitter saying, well, if she wanted to be on Fox News, she had to say that about Trump. So this was a world in which the precious and rare television real estate that is controlled by conservatives was 100% against Trump. The Republican National Committee, 100% against Trump. All of Washington, 100% against Trump. And in that environment, Jeff Sessions, Kris Kobach, Chris Christie came out and endorsed Trump. Where are their positions in the administration?
Well, I'm going to ask you about something you brought up, Kayleigh McEnany. We'll get back to your problems with the president, as I'm picking up on here subtly in a second. But on Fox News Sunday, I get it that Donna Brazile is going to complain and bitch about the press secretary for a Republican president. That's her job. It's her life. When you saw Jonah Goldberg say that basically Trump wants a Twitter troll as a press secretary and that Kayleigh McEnany's performance is, quote, grotesque, what do you have to say to the sort of erudite, non-Trump, non-committal? They like to live in that gray area of, I don't like him, but I'm not against him sort of people.
Well, 2 points. One, I don't watch Fox News. I read my own Twitter feed, so I know what they're going to be saying 2 days in advance. You can save a lot of time just following a few of the right people on Twitter, where all of the show prep takes place at Fox News, watered down and then uttered by not very smart people. Point two, Jonah Goldberg went to Goucher College. Look up the SATs. Do not use erudite in the same sentence. Kayleigh Mack, point three, Kayleigh McEnany is fantastic. She is magnificent. I've always been a fan of hers. She is, I always thought it was, I usually don't watch CNN, as you may know, to the extent I watch any cable news. It tends to be, you know, my fave, Joy Reid and The Red, Rachel Maddow. No, yeah, that you want your money's worth for your entertainment dollar.
I say
MSNBC. But every once in a while during the campaign, I would inadvertently click on to CNN, and Kayleigh was just magnificent. She was the one Trump supporter on these massive CNN panels, and she was just so lovely and so polite and so good. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is sad that she's on CNN and no one's going to see it. So I'm glad the rest of the world can see her.
And the
now.
Check's cleared. The check's cleared, though, so, you know, it all worked out.
I think she's beyond fabulous.
Now, I've had her on the show. She was when she was with the campaign. She was incredibly nice and quick. And that doesn't necessarily come across when you've got eight people piling on you nonstop about your verb choice and the way you conjugate words. But it really was.
I suspect she will be attacked relentlessly because she's beautiful, she's Christian, she's conservative, she's smart. These forces of evil, i.e. our entire media and much of the world, will absolutely be circling and attacking her, but God never gives you more than you can handle, so she'll do fine.
In a lot of ways, you haven't really changed all that much since I met you back in 2003, and even before that, when your first book came out during the Clinton impeachment, High Crimes and Misdemeanors, but the conservative world has. How and why do you think that is? That now you were, you know, a staple on cable television, you were at National Review, you were, you know, CPAC, and now you don't go to CPAC, they would, you know, put light torches to keep you out of CPAC because they want the cheap labor to come in and take care of their gardens. But when did the conservative world start to change, and why, you think?
I think it goes back to John O'Sullivan's law, which I will misstate but get the point of, and that is every organization, he said, and actually this isn't true, unless explicitly premised, labeled a right-wing organization, will over time become a liberal organization. But look, I mean, it happened to CPAC too. It happened to the Catholic Church. It happened to the Ford Foundation. It happened to Carnegie. Hollywood didn't used to be so left-wing. Wall Street didn't used to be so left-wing. The universities weren't left-wing. Over time, every powerful and useful organization does get overtaken, and they live off the name for many years until people figure out, wait a second, this isn't an organization promoting, you know, women or conservatism or whatever. This is just, you know, an outgrowth of La Raza, the Democratic Party, the Young Socialist League of America. And, you know, we've been seeing this over time, so I think that's what's happened to a lot of powerful organizations. Incidentally, I often recommend to young conservatives, young Republicans on college campuses, you know, go into to their organizations, become a public school teacher, go work for the Immigration Service in Washington, work for the CIA, work for the FBI, take over their organizations the way, the FBI is the perfect example. The great FBI of J. Edgar Hoover, protecting us from communists and anarchists and Black Panthers. Oh, now it's just not another, at least at the top, it's another branch of the Democratic Party. So I say to young Republicans, don't just become an intern on Capitol Hill. Don't go become an intern at Fox News. Go into their organizations and take them over, because that's what they do to ours.
Well, unfortunately, in academia, you'll never get tenure. You have to, like, live a false life for 5 years till you get tenure. And then you
that's true.
You have to wipe clean your soul. You have to Christine Blasey Ford your internet history to be able to even get hired, and then keep that secret for a couple of years till you get tenure, and then you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Let me ask you: is there anybody in the Trump administration that you're happy with?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Knowing
some.
That Rick Grenell just left.
Did he?
Yeah, well, he's not going back as ambassador to Germany, so I don't know if something else is going to come up for him or not, but he stepped down as ambassador to Germany.
Well, yeah, but that's so he can get a more important position, I assume.
Hopefully.
Yeah, there are people like Grinnell. I noticed that probably the greatest member of the administration, John McEntee, was summarily dumped about a year into the administration. Oh, but now that Trump needs to be reelected, better bring McEntee back. This is why.
Who is John McEntee? Who is John McEntee?
Well, you should, if this is on a podcast and people can link to it, you got to link to the John McEntee trick shots. He's a very talented athlete, very handsome. That isn't why I like him. I'm just mentioning some of his wonderful qualities. Very patriotic American. And he's like the male Hope Hicks. So he was Trump's body man, I guess they call them. And, you know, whispering sweet nothings in Trump's ear. And he's a total patriot and a great American and very smart. He was thrown out of the Trump administration. You may remember this. It was so outrageous because he comes from a wealthy family. He was making sports bets online. He was winning his sports bets. It's not like he was in debt or anything. He was actually making money off of it, and I think it was perfectly legal. But because he was doing this, there were headlines that went around, I don't know, it was like a year after Trump came in, that Trump body man caught gambling. And so he was just frog marched out of the White House. That's how the loyal supporters get treated at the Trump White House.
Have you been in touch, contacted by the Sessions people at all?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. As long as it doesn't involve travel, and actually I have family in Alabama. I have a lot of cousins and friends in Alabama, so I was kind of thinking of, because I do want to help them out, mostly because I want you to win your bets, but secondarily, because I want to save the nation. I mean, Sessions is just a magnificent man. Absolute. Did you see that thing? What was that Schweitzer book? Anyway, I tweeted it. Throw them all out. I think it was Schweitzer. Major investigation into how people like Kelly Loeffler, but for years this has been going on. I mean, this recent stock business after the senators got their secret briefings on COVID. The sick thing about this is it's legal for them to do that. They've been doing it for years. Peter,
I remember when Schweitzer's book came out, 60 Minutes did a big thing about, did a whole segment on that. Andrew Breitbart had a party here at the embassy. There were probably 20 of us there. And we thought, man, this is going to be a huge bombshell. It was. Congress acted quickly to make it illegal. And then 6 months later, when nobody was looking, they repealed it because they're scum.
I was wondering how that happened. Thank you. I was wondering because I remembered something being done too. So why? Anyway, okay. Thank you for explaining that. Okay, so they look at every member of Congress. Who was the only one who wasn't on the take? Correct. Jeff Sessions.
So Jeff Sessions, why is Jeff Sessions struggling in Alabama? He used to win. The Democrats wouldn't even put anybody up against him. He was so wildly popular. They just left it empty. And now he's, the polling isn't exactly going crazy out there, so we don't have many numbers, but it looks as though from the betting markets, which is a pretty good feel for these things, that it's a close race and Tuberville might actually be ahead. Is that the power of the president?
Yes, and the jock sniffers at Fox News. I mean, I often say we shouldn't make fun of dumb Republicans because we deserve dumb voters too. Democrats shouldn't get all of them. But there are a lot of dumb Republicans. And, you know, if Trump says, tweets out that Jesus has betrayed him, they'll be pissed off at Jesus. There are people who will just repeat everything Trump says, even the crazy things. I mean, obviously the issues Trump ran on, I care about, unlike the president, I might add. I'd write in Trump We Trust Again. What other choices did we have? The campaign was absolutely beautiful. In fact, one of the things we were talking about earlier, I was going to mention, you were talking about how, which is so obviously true, Trump doesn't seem to realize he's president. Sir, did you know you're president? One of the things I praised him for in Trump We Trust was that every one of his major campaign promises, because people would say, oh, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. Every one of his major campaign promises was something that is 100% in control of the executive branch, i.e. the president of the United States. The only one that required Congress at all was repealing Obamacare, which, you know, what does he start with and what doesn't he get done? Repealing Obamacare. But building the wall, that's the job of the commander-in-chief. Making Mexico pay for it. He and he alone can direct Treasury to put a tax on remittances being sent from the United States back to Mexico. Based on the remittances just in the last few years, it would take less than 10 years to pay for a wall by taxing the remittances of money that's being sent from America by legal and mostly illegal aliens out of our country, back to their grandmothers in Chiapas.
Do you believe the president didn't believe the things he was saying in 2016, or do you think he's unaware that he has this ability?
I think he is a very small and shallow man, and he saw what was working at the rallies, and whatever got him applause, he would say it. As I said at the beginning, he's, I think we need a test a little higher than, smarter than the average politician. Because, I mean, what was his secret? He saw a $1,000 bill lying on the ground and picked it up. And nobody else would pick it up. Rubio wouldn't pick it up. Cruz wouldn't pick it up. Americans have been screaming from the rooftops that they want a total end, a total moratorium on immigration, certainly an end to illegal immigration. Until Trump came along, even the Democratic Party knew where the voters were and pretended to be for a wall and deporting illegals and so on and so forth, not giving them driver's licenses, not giving them college tuition, English only requirements. I mean, look back at the things Obama said, Hillary said, Claire McCaskill, DiFi. They're all on the record. Why? Because that's what the public wanted. But the Republican Party, led by the geniuses at the RNC, remember they did that autopsy after Romney lost, and well, their conclusion, the autopsy must have been funded with a little Chamber of Commerce money, more immigration. That's always their conclusion in Washington. So he just saw, oh, this gets a good round of applause. I'll just keep saying it. But I don't think he really cares one way or another. And one fatal flaw, well, a couple of them that I think, one major one, I guess, that I don't think we saw coming. We certainly weren't promised that Jared Kushner would be running the country. That wouldn't have gotten a huge round of applause back at the 2016 rallies. And don't worry, I'll be bringing half of Goldman Sachs to work in the White House. Yay! Was that he's one of the things I praised him for, and that I was just mentioning earlier, that he doesn't seem to care what elegant people think. I think that's a huge, huge advantage. You do not want someone who is easily pressured by a New York Times editorial. That's what we loved about Ronald Reagan. That's what we loved about Jesse Helms. They were constantly being denounced in the New York Times. And if they read it at all, they'd chuckle about it. That is such a crucial quality in a Republican politician, because they, like Kayleigh McEnany, they are going to be coming under ferocious satanic attacks. We need someone who doesn't care, usually because they're Christians. It looks like Trump was like that, but I think, no, he's just a boor. He didn't realize he was being a boor, because he gets into office and he's the most massively insecure person I've ever seen. I mean, I don't know if this is still going on, but for the first 2 years, every day he was calling Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. Why did he even go on Lester Holt to be interviewed? I mean, it's kind of cross-messaging where he's denouncing the media as fake news, but then all he wants is their approval. Oh, please like me, New York Times. Please like. Where are the Daily Caller exclusive interviews? Where are the Breitbart exclusive interviews? All of the media, and why isn't he protecting Daily Caller and Breitbart and Milo and Gavin McGinnis, who are being thrown off alternative media? They were getting more hits during the campaign than the New York Times was. But no, Trump gets into office and elevates all of the media that is his enemy and pushes down all of the media that helped get him elected.
Do you think he wants to get reelected? Or do you think he's just going through it? Or do you think there's something he wants to do? Or does he want to be a two-term president because the alternative would be to have lost?
Yeah, he absolutely wants to get reelected 100%. Doesn't want to be a big loser, which leads to I hate making predictions, but I will make a prediction. If it becomes clear that he's going to lose, which it may not, because in the era of Trump, you can't really believe polls. So how is he going to know? But if he thinks he's going to lose, he will totally screw over the Democratic Party and at the worst possible time announce, well, I've made America great again. I'm resigning. I'm not running again. Meet your nominee, Mike Pence. It'll be like at the Republican convention. At the worst possible time, he will screw over the Republican Party so that he doesn't have to go down to a loss. But it may well be that it won't be clear.
I think, well, yeah, you should put 5 cents on that happening. you would get $20 million if that came to pass. I think anybody would give you incredible odds on that one. Does Jeff Sessions win?
I don't know, because as you say, I mean, I certainly hope so, but never underestimate the ability of stupid people to hurt your party. As you say, there's no decent polling. The only thing that explains why Sessions is not sailing to election, why he even has a runoff, are these incessant attacks by Trump that then get picked up and repeated by idiots. He didn't have to recuse himself. it's his fault, the Russian investigation. Can you get a copy of that Lester Holt interview where boastful Trump starts going on and it was my decision. I shot the 7-Eleven clerk. I was not just the getaway driver.
Are you you don't watch Fox anymore. Are you asked to go on Fox and pass, or are you too against the agenda of the corporation, of News Corp?
Who knows? Could be that these were my competitors for a long time and they're happy to see the Wicked Witches dead. But luckily, luckily no one under 50 watches TV. So I meet, old people and they ask me why I'm not on Fox anymore. And then their kids come into the room and I'm a hero.
Well, let me ask you about that. Do you have hope for the future, at least, if not the present? Because you're out on college campuses, when we had college campuses, more often than most professors are. You talk to these people. I know you don't blow into town, come backstage, knock on the door, go out, give your speech, and then run. You actually spend some time there. You talk to the kids. Do you have hope for the future, at least, if not the present?
Well, I would have had 6 weeks of speeches to give you a better read on the college campus. I will tell you, the Berkeley College Republicans were magnificent, absolutely magnificent. In general, the more horrible the left-wing atmosphere, Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, any college campus in America, the more fun the right-wingers are because they're used to being under attack. They are the brave.
Right. I met you at Smith College, and it doesn't get any more lunatic than that. You actually asked me, will you sit on stage while I speak in case somebody comes running up? Because you didn't have security back then, and so I was your security.
That's right.
I was your lesbian repellent, should it ever come down to that. From there,
I think the lesbians liked me.
I think they did too, but they didn't know what to do with it, and that was the tension. They wanted to hate you. They wanted so badly to hate you. But that's the thing. Everybody thinks. I tell you, I'm not going to name any other names, but people tell me, oh, so and so seems really nice, and they're on TV, and I said, no, they're really not. When you get to know them, they're actually pretty terrible people. And well, what about Anne? She's so mean. I'm like, no, she's actually the nice one. It's the exact opposite. I don't know who's doing your PR, but they're either doing a great job if that's what you want, or they're doing a horrible job if you want to improve your image amongst the public. But I can vouch for the fact that you're an incredibly nice person and genuine, and I appreciate you spending the time with us. Anything else? You got about 22,000 people listening right now. What do you want to say to them?
Tell all your friends we want to get that number up.
Yes.
Support Jeff Sessions. And support any Republican senator. I mean, think about the courts. We got to keep the Senate, Derek.
I know. We got to keep it all. We had a chance before coronavirus, I thought, to take back the House.
Weirdly, I think just the reverse. I was sure Trump was going to lose before the coronavirus came along. Now, after his attack on Sessions, I'm back to even money on that one. But I was sure he was going to lose before coronavirus. Once coronavirus hit, I have exactly the opposite opinion of everyone else. Not immediately. But Democrats have come out of the woodwork to show us what life will be like under them. They're utter fascists. Pulling people out of boats on the beach, from playing t-ball with their kids in the park, not allowing haircuts or anything to open. Oh, they love bossing us around, and not because of anything Trump has done, but I thought, wow, this has really helped his chances. And then, of course, as you say, we have the senile dementia patient he's running against.
But you've written a book.
More hopeful.
You've written about media bias, but the media is known as bias. It's held in lower esteem than toenail fungus in most polls. But when you look at the popularity or approval ratings of the president from coronavirus versus Andrew Cuomo, who literally ordered 4,500 sick people into nursing homes. And he's in the 80s as far as approval rating goes.
Yeah.
That's, that's a testament to the power of the media that, yes, it's dying, yes, it's slowly dying, but they're still very powerful.
Yes, I was just reflecting on that. And I don't know what to make of it. It does show, as you say, how powerful the media is, even as people know many people hate it. Tim Grossclose wrote a book. He's a professor. I guess he was at UCLA. Now he's at George Mason. I can't think of the name of it right now, but look up Tim Grossclose, where I think he's just an economist, but he did an evaluation of the effect of media bias. And he said it, and this is, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, he said for every election, the media alone, you can spot the Democrats about 8 points. And I think it's gotten worse. I assumed that was what was happening with the Cuomo versus red state governor polls. It could also be that could be part of the media bias itself. I mean, I haven't looked specifically at the polls, but it's very easy to take a poll to get the result you want, depending on whom you poll. Because that 80% for Cuomo versus 57% for DeSantis.
Yeah.
DeSantis has clearly, sorry, Governor DeSantis of Florida, has clearly done the best job of any governor in the country, with lots of old people, with cruise ships landing in Florida, teeny, teeny, tiny death rate, people are safe, are happy, he's opening things up properly. He is a Harvard law man, very impressive, doing a magnificent job. Why doesn't he have 100% approval rating? It also could be in the era of Trump. And I do still think this is true. Polls just mean less for some reason. People are more afraid of the media, and they're afraid to tell the media what they really think.
Maybe, hopefully, because we're screwed.
I know.
Otherwise. And when's the new book coming out? You got time. What are you waiting for?
Nothing. In theory, I do. Nothing at the moment. In fact, I talked to the guys at Breitbart about this at a book party a few months ago. It's hard to concentrate on any one subject for more than 24 hours in the era of Trump, whether it's our side or their side. It's just, these wild passions swinging back and forth. It's not really time for a thoughtful book comparing the French Revolution to the American Revolution.
Jonah Goldberg's probably already going to write that anyway and come down on the side of the French Revolution or something.
Gaucho College.
Last question. You going to vote for Trump come November?
Yes. I mean, the alternative is horrifying, but how I vote, I don't know. I might write in Jeff Sessions' name. One more attack on Sessions. And I might write in Sessions' name. But yes, obviously, I do not want the Democrats to win. But if they do, there will at least be a few silver linings, as I said, as there is with COVID. You got to look for the silver linings.
Ann Coulter, a pleasure to talk to you as always. And hopefully you can stay as sane as you need to be while still in isolation and get back to those colleges.
I can't wait to see you guys again.
Yeah, no kidding. Be able to leave the house besides going to the grocery store would be nice. Bye.
Good to talk to you, Derek. Say hello to Heather. Goodbye.
Thank you to Anne. Thank you to you for listening to me and Anne. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in there. A lot of stuff in there is going to make I think there's something in there to make everybody mad. I don't know. Doesn't matter. You heard it. You listened, and I appreciate it. You can make up your own minds. We're all adults here, but I do really think that Jeff Sessions back in the Senate is exactly where Jeff Sessions should be and where we need Jeff Sessions to be. And I'm not just saying that because I bet on Jeff Sessions, although it helps. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow with a regular episode, but when you get going with Ann, you enjoy yourself far too much to pay attention to the clock. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Thank you for listening. The website, if you want to help, is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Tomorrow's Wednesday already. I love 4-day work weeks. Love them. We'll see you then. Thank you.